Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod with your hosts, Brendan Tobin and Alejandro Solano.
Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Porpoise Pod. I'm your host, Brendan Tobin, alongside my co-host, Alejandro Solana, who is on the mend. Are you officially on IR, man? Like, are you going to make it? Because you have an important role on the Dolphins broadcast. What is your status for Sunday? This is more important than Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, I'm officially listed as questionable for week one, but I think I'll be all right. I think I'll be boots on the ground for the opening at Hard Rock.
All right. Give it some people. Like, what are you doing? Like, what goes into a day of producing the Dolphins broadcast? Like, is it how early do you get there for a 1 o'clock game? Like, what are the things that you see that people don't see?
Yeah, so the first thing, really, it's throughout the entire week. I'm setting up a 12-hour broadcast. I'm putting together rundowns. I'm putting together a whole different like slew of pieces of imaging, montages, things of that nature. But then the actual day of game day, I'm the guy directing traffic behind Jimmy and Joe Rose. So I'm helping spot the game, who caught the pass, how many yards that they got. And every time we're supposed to go to commercial break, it's the most like bizarre system that the NFL uses to let their radio and TV affiliates know it's time to go to break. So, Tobin, you've realized like in college football now, you know, there's a stoppage of play. There might be a timeout in the works. Somebody will come out with like this big sign and then it's a countdown, 2 minutes, a minute 40. In the NFL, you don't have that. So all you have is some guy standing on the sideline. Literally, when they're going to break, he's wearing these huge gardening gloves that are typically like neon orange or neon yellow. And he comes out and he does a cross with his hands. But again, he's standing on like the 10-yard line. He could be the opposite 10-yard line from me on the other side of the field. He could be closest to me. They're always standing on one part of almost towards the end zone in that red zone. That's the way I have to keep an eye on him at all times, typically after scoring drives, right? After the PAT, maybe after a punt return, that's when the affiliates, the networks, TV, radio go to break. But the way for us to know is by looking at some dude just put his hands up with gardening gloves. It is the most prehistoric system, but the NFL doesn't change anything, which is why
they
we
really
still have guys on the sideline deciding multi-billion-dollar industry, and it gets decided by guys on the sideline with chains. Like, that's it's the most prehistoric thing ever. But
I don't respect that chain, and I don't know what kind of manipulation there can be. Like, they got the Tim Donaghy thing going on right now on Netflix. Who knows? Yeah. How do we know there's never been a crooked chain guy in the history of the NFL?
Oh, there's definitely been crooked chain guys. And not only that, the little dude that stands to the right of the chains and he tells you if it's a first, second, third, or fourth down, they get that wrong. Now that I'm looking for those things, right? Because I'm constantly keeping an eye on things going on around the field. If there's a flag, just so I can assist the broadcast if they don't catch it. And the amount of times the guy with the sign telling you what down it is, the amount of times they're wrong at least 10 times a game. Really, like if you could pay attention, they're wrong all the time.
That's crazy. So like you become a master of the binoculars. Like, is that what you like? And out of these, like, do you have a pair of binoculars that is Dolphins issued or NFL issued? Or do you have your own puppies that you have like, these are what work for me?
My own puppies, man. Yeah, right. The NFL doesn't give us anything, and the Dolphins don't either. But just my own puppies.
Man, I feel like the Dolphins, because you know they gotta have some good, like, they got the best walkie-talkies. They got the best all that gear. Like, I feel like they probably have some sick sick binoculars they could hook it up with. Like, let's go.
For sure. Yeah. Cephalo and Joe Rose, like they come ready every year with like a fresh pair. I just got like my cheapo $30 binoculars. It gets the job done though. I still got 20/20 vision. You know what I mean, Tobin? Like, I'm still one of these young guys. I'm good. Like, I can see things from far away, but the binoculars helps. Anytime there's like a scrum and you're trying to figure out or who's starting the offensive line, if there's a switch, hard to see those big guys from all the way up in the booth. You need a little help. Need a little zoomage to get in there.
Yeah, they don't give the radio guys like the best view, do they? Like, it's not like television.
So I don't want to upset anybody at the Dolphins, but this is pretty obvious. I mean, we have easily the worst booth setup in the National Football League and for college football as well. UM has the, like, we used to be, and before I was producing at the stadium, a 50-yard line where the TV was, beautiful view, just like every other stadium. But the Dolphins, you know, are catering to their fans a little bit more, the ones specifically with bread, with money.
Of course.
And so all of that, like 50-yard line, all those broadcast booths were turned into suites, all of them. I don't know. Have you seen like the Nine, Tobin? Have you heard of that?
I took like a tour of Hard Rock with Garfinkel. He took out the old morning show with Joy and Zazzla back in the day. And we saw it all kind of getting built, but I've never gotten like a full blown Hard Rock tour. I've been in the press box many times.
Right.
And it's better for sure than what it was. But the one thing I don't like about it, and this is, I know people listen to us and like, oh, poor sports guys. Shut up. The thing that I don't like about it, because I really love going to basketball games live because you're in the atmosphere. I feel like you get something going to a basketball game that you don't at home. And with the NFL, I feel like I get so much more at home than I do being in the stadium. And the reason for that is and I don't know if you guys are like, because you might have your booth open, but the way it is in the press box is it's like a hyperbaric chamber. You can't hear anything anymore.
The press box is depressing. It really is. I was in the press box for the Miami Miracle. Kenyon Drake running all the way down. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. I was in the press box for that covering the team a couple of years ago. And when I tell you 95% of the people in that press box had already left because they thought the game was over. They thought there was no way in hell the Dolphins were going to pull off this miraculous comeback. Everybody's already downstairs waiting to hear coach talk. At this point, I think it was Adam Gase still, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was.
And the only ones in the press box left were like me, Frito. There was like a small group of people still in there. And when I tell you the most exciting play, maybe in the past two decades of Dolphins football, you could have heard a pin drop in that press box.
I was the
only one. I'm cheering. Like I'm whatever, man. Like I'm a Dolphins fan. I really am. And I guess I can say that because I kind of work for the team or whatever. Yeah, but
you're on the team broadcast now. Like, that's the thing that was fun. When I did a couple of Heat games this year, I really liked getting the idea like, okay, I don't have to fake it. Like everybody can just have fun here.
Right.
You know, you're part of everybody's having fun. We're all celebrating. It's a good time. I don't have to be a fugazi like I am four seats down when I'm covering it for the station.
Right.
Or the former flagship station. But one of the things that I really like about it is I love a couple things of doing the basketball broadcast. I got to do like six games this year. Especially when you're at home, is one, you get the under the rim, you get the rim mics, so you can hear players talk bleep the entire time, which is really fun. And then the other thing is you get the statistician, and he's got the goods. That guy's on it. Randy Webb, shout out. That guy is a party.
I do love like in between quarters watching the runners, and they print out all the first quarter stats, and before the second, the runners are trying to get everybody, whether it's the broadcast team, whether it's the coaches, whether it's Pat Riley sitting in the corner, whether it's Zoe, they get everybody that matters a printed out stat sheet like ASAP. And you see them running throughout the stadium all the time at FTX. The Dolphins, it works a little bit different. They don't provide first quarter stats till the end of the second. The whole system, and it's not their fault, but you have the press box in one area and then the radio booths on the other side of the stadium, and then the TV booths on the other side of the stadium. Yeah. So everybody's spread out. So there's no like perfect system to get everybody what they need to get. Luckily, we have the internet. But Tobin, I mean, you know how it is for some of these older broadcasters. They're kind of stuck in their ways. They like the pen. They like the ink on the leaf.
I like that too. By the way, I like when you get a spread. Like you know, I like perusing a printed out box score. I think it helps. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm digesting it better. The one thing I did miss though, I went to the Canelo fight when he fought that bum during COVID, and we were in the press box, me and Leroy Horde, and Jay Balvin surprisingly introed Canelo Alvarez, and that concert seemed like it was better than the fight. Couldn't hear a damn thing. I was so jealous because I saw flames and lasers and Canelo was dancing, but I couldn't hear any of the music. And it's, I'm like, man, they really should be able to open up these windows again. I feel like it would help. I guess
it does. The good part is for the radio broadcast, we actually stick a mic outside of the booth to pick up fan noise, and that gets pumped into our broadcast.
That's
so
cool. Okay.
So you do kind of feel like you're there, but man, if there's like a big play, that roar from the crowd. Were you there, Notre Dame, a couple years ago?
No.
When Miami beat Notre Dame? Whatever. I mean, I know a lot of Dolphins and Hurricanes fans were there for that game, and it sounded maybe the loudest sporting event I've ever been to.
No, that when Trish and Mandy
had the pick six, it was crazy. And that you do miss that. Like if the Dolphins week one score a game-winning drive, Tua throws it to Tyreek Hill 50 yards and they win – you don't get that same level of enthusiasm or excitement in the booth because you just don't feel the crowd as much.
That definitely is a thing with the roof there now, like that half roof canopy thing. Like it has made that place a tremendous, tremendous home field advantage, which has obviously been a big talking point this week with the whole, move down here of the Patriots infiltrating South Florida early because of their lack of confidence. But, I do think that roof, there's all this thing that's going on in town of the Canes and whatnot of, should they get their own place and all that. I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm not smart enough to know what the revenue stuff of that stuff is, but I know that that place seems like a really great place to watch a football game. And I wouldn't be like that gung ho on leaving just to get the drive a little bit. Cause I know a couple things. One, I know that traffic is going to be a nightmare wherever they put this thing. So going to a game is going to be just a nightmare. And second of all, I just think that it's like an ego thing. Like, it's like you get your own stadium, cool. But like you've seen with the Marlins, like doesn't necessarily bear fruit. It doesn't. And I like going to Marlins Park or whatever the hell it's called now as just a venue. But, I have so many fine memories of watching a baseball game in that football stadium. I loved it. I loved it.
I love Lone Depot Park, which is what it's called now. I love going there, but as far as the best baseball watching experience for the Marlins, pro player, Teal Monster, it'll never be better than that. It just won't. It really won't.
It was a sick time. It really was. So.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That was a really random start to the podcast. I understand that, everybody. I don't even know how we got there. But the point is, look, it's week one. We're excited. I think everybody is just fired up and pumped up. And I was just giving you a little insight into what Solano's got going on this week. I do believe I will be boots on the ground for this one, too.
Let's go.
I'm not going to go all the games. I'm not, like I said, it's not my – I don't love going to football games.
You're so right, though, Tobin. Like, the best way to watch the NFL Sundays – is on your couch. I love going to games. I love working with the team. I love, this quote unquote behind the door access that I sometimes get doing this stuff. But sitting down on your couch week one to watch every single game on Red Zone, it is the perfect product. So and what's crazy, Tobin? All NFL stadiums have a blackout 1 mile radius.
Really?
If I pay for NFL Sunday ticket, the NFL blacks it out at Hard Rock Stadium because there's a 1 mile blackout radius at every NFL stadium. So I can't even watch the games while I'm there. It's terrible.
That makes a lot of sense because, you know what? I remember trying to do that, and it wouldn't damn work. I had to go on like an illegal pirate site to make it work.
Right, which I do make happen. But
well, listen, they leave me no choice. I'm a paying customer. You can't get mad at me. I'm not stealing it because I do pay for it. You guys are not giving me access to it.
Yeah. So you can't even watch the game. So I'm all like, I love going to football games. I love going to Canes games, Dolphins games when I was a Dolphins fan and before I worked for the team. But the product the NFL has put together, where you sit on your couch and you can watch every scoring drive, it bar none, the best sporting TV experience you can have.
It's nearly religious. It's like I know I can throw either I'm gonna have two screens, either the two TVs or the TV and the laptop, and you know if there's a commercial, and like rare are the times where you'll get the commercials on every single time. So once it's just like, oh good, Dolphins are on break, I can look over here. Oh, they're on break, I go back over here. And so, like, yeah, all my attention will basically be mostly on the Dolphins. But if there's not, there's a game somewhere, and I can watch that game. And maybe we'll have fantasy players on that or something like that. Which, by the way, I got to say, man, before we'll get more into the stuff as the segments roll on here. You're being accused of chicanery in this Odyssey Miami fantasy football draft because you are the commish, and you put this puppy together.
Yep.
And – you ended up with the number one pick.
I did.
And I got to wonder through your mind, first of all, did you think this isn't going to look good? Well, first let me ask you this. As a journalist, did you rig the draft?
I did not. I filmed I filmed the auto-generated process. I went on a server online. I typed in all the names. I filmed the entire thing. I sent proof to everybody. And yes, the second I saw I had the first overall pick, I thought to myself, should I redo this? Because I am going to get accused of cheating and giving myself the number one overall pick. But then I thought, you know what? Fair is fair. I won the first overall pick according to this auto-generated draft machine. And, you know, fair is fair. Why can't you, why? Because I'm the commissioner?
You have video of this?
I sent a video to everybody.
I don't remember this. I think I saw a screenshot. I don't recall a video.
Let's see. I may even be able to put it up here on the Zoom.
I don't know. I don't remember a video going through. I'll try and see. But all right. I mean, if you say so.
Yep. I'm telling you, I filmed the entire thing. It's fair and square.
Because it's one of these group chats. You know, I got this where it's like, this is one of these group chats where, you know, we got some Android people in there. So it's really tiny.
Yeah.
So I'm not watching that, dude. Come on. And then you know what? That's probably a heady play by you because who's going to really look into that as evidence? But people thought you cheated. I'm just letting you know.
And I get it. I get it. I know I got ripped today on the air, but I knew what was going to be big difference. And thought to myself, well, I'm just to not give tough a number overall pick because people are going to assume I'm cheating. No, I want Christian McCaffrey, bro.
Interesting. All right. Well, look, I think I feel like I did my digging there, everybody. I don't know what to tell you. We did what we had to do. He claims no cheating. I don't know if I believe in him, but I don't care enough to really press the issue. You know what? I'm happy with my – by the way, I took Tyreek Hill. I know nobody cares about other people's fantasy teams. I took Tyreek Hill because I got the guts. That's why.
I got mocked
in the barber chair. Because he was like, you know, this guy, he's like, he loves fantasy. He goes, I mean, teams was, I said, I don't know. I think it was 12. He goes, what pick you have? I said, I had six pick. He goes, who'd you take? I was like, what the hell is this? What am I getting investigated for a crime? So I'm just like, I took Tyreek Hill. He goes, Tyreek Hill? I said, yeah, Tyreek Hill. Why is Tyreek Hill being disrespected like this? I feel like I was like, I was ready to walk up and leave if I didn't look like Frankenstein in the chair already. Oh, it's like,
yeah, doing.
He goes, Tyreek Hill. Oh, yeah. I'm going to take, because the first player you take in fantasy, unless they get injured, that guy's going to be good.
Right. What, for sure.
Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, who cares? Let me take the guy that I'm going to watch every Sunday, I'm going to root for.
Yeah, doing your draft at a barbershop, that's mistake number one, because every barber thinks that they are a fantasy expert. Every barber thinks they know everything about football. That's your first mistake, Tobin.
No, I understand, but he felt the need to mock me for my pick. And I was just like, hey man, Like, what? And so I'm like, so who are you taking? And I'm like, yeah, I think he's like, oh, I took the hell did he take? I don't remember what he had. Who cares? The point is, don't tell me what you think about my pick. My pick is my pick. I'm happy with it. I wanted Tyreek Hill. Revenge season. Even though he doesn't really need revenge on anybody. He makes a ton of money.
He's pretty much set.
He is set. But it feels like I was listening to him this week, and he's like, you know, he's just excited to do his things for the Dolphins, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do. So I'm into it. I don't know. There's something that tells me Tyreek Hill's coming for blood this season, dude. I don't know. I got a feeling because, well, look at the little glimpse we got in a preseason. We've seen two glimpses. Joint practice against the Eagles, smoking Darius Slay, and then first play, he smoked the entire Eagles secondary. This guy's going to be able to do that whenever he wants.
I'm with it. Like I'm cool with it, but I think most people would have taken Tyreek in like the second round, which is probably why you were getting flamed for it. But Tobin, listen, I admire it, man. Like, hey, I admire going with the Dolphins. I was shocked you didn't take like Jason Sanders. I was shocked you didn't take Tua. Like I thought you were going.
Tua. I was so mad. I was so mad at Marcos for taking Tua because I didn't. I took Lamar Jackson first my first QB because I knew Tua. I'm like, Tua's gonna go late as hell. I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna get completely mocked on here. And I wasn't in the Zoom with you guys, so I don't know what kind of crap you guys were talking at the time.
Yeah. But, yeah. Just Leroy hating on me as always. And I got him to log off, funny enough, because I started talking about The Bachelor, the new series of The Bachelor, which I'm not paying attention to, but I know Leroy Horde already thinks I'm the softest person in the world. So that was like the tipping point for him. He just signed off enraged that I was watching The Bachelor, just left.
I'm surprised, you know, because we talk a lot of Love Island on the show. You ever watch?
I've heard.
You ever watch Love Island with your lady?
I have. I have watched Love Island. A lot of drama.
British version though. Yeah, I don't like the American version. I like the British version on Hulu. That's my faves. Anyway, let's get into this game, huh? Well, Porpoise Pod will swim on. We'll get into all the trash talk. A lot of disrespect coming from Boston. A lot of people making fun of Mike McDaniel. I'm not here for it. Porpoise Pod rolls on after this.